history of crime detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant tinker, and Heather Chasen as his secretary, Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart.
I live here, in a cottage in the village.
Your whiskey, Mr. Quexley, sir.
Thank you. This is on me. Here you are, landlord. A take for the sandwiches as well, will you?
Right, thank you, sir.
Cheers. Funny thing, Blake, you must be psychic. I was going to ring you.
Sudden nostalgia after nearly 3 years?
No, just a queer thing I can't explain.
Your change and the sandwiches, sir.
Thanks. Sorry, Quexley.
Take a look at these.
Playing cards. Ten, knave, queen, king of spades, almost a royal flush. Been playing poker?
No. You see that line of writing on each card? Now, if you take them in order of value, you get...
A message, yes, I see. Seek for the ace at the stairs between two gates. Ask for the black Zambomba, says the sin eater. What's it mean?
You tell me.
How did you get these cards?
By post.
All together?
No, separately. Enclosed in cheap envelopes. The address was all right, but... Well, I've no more idea than the man in the moon who sent them or what they mean.
What's a black Zambomba?
It's a child's toy, a kind of musical instrument. Spanish origin. What was the postmark?
Maidstone. I don't know anybody in Maidstone.
Quite an intriguing little puzzle. Could be some sort of advertisement, I suppose. Or a joke.
What's the point?
A little obscure, I'll admit. Well, I'm afraid we must be off, Quexley.
Oh, no, you'll have another drink.
Sorry, old man, I've an urgent appointment in London, and we shall only just make it. We only stopped because Paula's stomach was screaming for nourishment.
But I'm only halfway through these sandwiches.
Bring them with you. You can have mine as well. I'll keep in touch with you, Quexley.
Fine.
Can I take these cards?
Of course. Oh, here, you'd better have my phone number. I've got a pencil somewhere.
Here, use this.
Thank you. There you are. And don't forget to ring.
I won't. So long, old man. Sorry to have to rush off.
Good night, Mr. Quexley.
Bye-bye, Miss Dane. Bye, Blake. Look forward to hearing from you. Jasper.
Yes, sir?
Bring me another large scotch, will you?
Now hop in. We'll have to step on it.
Well, it's been quite a day.
Yes, nice to see old Quexley again. Pity we had to rush away. Like to have had a chat over old times.
Can you make any sense out of the message on those playing cards?
He said I must be psychic, but I can assure you I'm not.
What's the sin eater when he's at home?
What? Oh, in the old days he was a chap who, for a small fee, was supposed to take all the sins of a recently dead person to himself by eating bread beside the corpse.
Charming.
Doesn't help much to explain the message on those cards, does it? Now, why don't you finish eating the sandwiches you're clutching so desperately?
I wonder how many sandwiches I'd have to eat to take up all your sins. Or is that just a polite way of telling me to shut up?
I want to think over this Quexley puzzle.
Oh, all right. I'll be as dumb as an oyster. All the way back to Berkeley Square.
Sexton Blake speaking.
Blake. I've been shot.
Quexley? What?
Listen, not much time. They broke in those playing cards.
Quexley, can you hear me? Quexley! 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 Now, come on. Operator, listen, this is urgent. Connect me with the police station at Larkminster. Larkminster. No, I don't know the number. Never mind about the supervisor. Get me through as quickly as you can. A man's life may depend on it. Go on, hurry.
Tinker, wake up. Come to my room. It's urgent.
What's up, Governor? What's all the racket about?
I can't stop to explain. I'm on the phone. Hello? Oh, damn it, why don't they get a move on? Hello, Larkminster Police? Listen, Sergeant, this is Sexton Blake speaking. Send round at once to Mr. Quexley's house. Mr. Quexley. He's been shot. Take a doctor with you. Don't talk, man. Get busy. It's serious. I'm coming down straight away. I'll answer any questions when I get there. Hurry.
Do you say that Mr. Quexley's been shot, Governor?
Yes. Get dressed as quickly as you can.
How'd it happen?
I'll tell you all I know on the way. Hurry up, Tinker, and get the car. It's just after 2:30. We ought to get to Larkminster about 4:45.
Mr. Quexley was dead when we got here, sir. Shot twice through the chest. Both bullets pierced his lungs. The doctor said he practically drowned in his own blood.
Poor old Quexley.
They've made a pretty thorough mess of the place, Inspector Hedges.
Yeah, they certainly have.
Looking for those playing cards. There's little doubt that was the objective.
Mr. Quexley surprised them and they shot him.
Have you any idea what the message on the cards means, Mr. Bragg?
Not at the moment, Inspector.
But do you think that Mr. Quexley was telling the truth when he told you that he didn't know anything about it, or who sent him?
Yes, I'm fairly sure he was.
How well did you know Mr. Quexley, sir?
We were old friends. Quexley was a journalist, political stuff, mostly foreign affairs. He was attached to the Chronicle for a number of years. Then he came into a bit of money on the death of an uncle, I believe. And I lost track of him until I ran into him at the pub last night.
I see. He didn't say anything at all that might help to explain this business, sir.
There wasn't time to talk much. I had an appointment with the Home Secretary and had to dash away to get back to London in time. If I'd known what was going to happen to the poor chap...
It didn't strike you that there was anything serious about the message on the cards?
Would it have struck you, Inspector?
Well, no, sir, I can't say it would. More like a sort of crossword puzzle. We may find some sort of clue when we go through all this litter, but of course we can't touch anything until the photographers and fingerprint chaps have been.
I doubt if you'll find anything. I must be getting back to London. I'm leaving my assistant to have a prowl around the village.
Any special object, Governor?
No, just a picker-up of unconsidered trifles. Quexley must have made a few friends when he came to live here. See if they can tell you anything.
Well, I thought you were sure that Mr. Quexley didn't know anything about the playing cards.
That doesn't necessarily mean that someone he knew didn't and doesn't. Use your common sense. Goodbye to the present, Inspector.
Oh, goodbye, Mr. Blake. I'll let you know if we get on to anything.
I'll do the same.
Here, Governor. If you're going to take the car, how do I get back?
Hire a car from somewhere, or you might try hitchhiking. Though I hardly think you've got the right sort of legs to be very successful.
Mr. Blake isn't available at the moment. No, I've no idea. I'm sorry, but I can't give you any information at all. Yes, I understand that. I'll give Mr. Blake your message. Yes, I'll make it quite clear. Goodbye.
I'm back, Paula. Anything important?
Well, they've been ringing up from the Home Office all morning. They don't sound a bit pleased.
It's the starch in their diet.
You said you'd let them know this morning if you would undertake that...
I know. You got my note about poor Quexley.
Yes, I'm terribly sorry. Did you find out anything at Larkminster?
Nothing. Tinker's still there making inquiries. I doubt whether they'll amount to much. Did you get on to Chief Inspector Coots?
Yes, he's ringing back.
Good. What about any other Quexley? It's an unusual name. There can't be many of them.
I've got Nichols onto that. Oh, if that's a Home Office again, what do I say?
The first thing that comes into your head. It's a language they understand.
Oh, very fun. Mr. Sexton Blake's residence? Oh, hold on a second, please. It's Chief Inspector Coots.
Hello, Coots, old man. Nothing at all, eh? I thought it was just possible there might be something in CRO. It would take too long to explain now. I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. You always are in a hurry. Take it a bit more easily. You'll be getting stomach ulcers. So long, chum. Thanks for your trouble.
There's no record of anyone called a sin eater.
No. Give Mrs. Bardell to make a pot of coffee, will you, Paula? Very strong.
Yes, of course.
I don't want to see anybody.
Don't worry, I'll cope. Oh!
Anything the matter, Paula?
Just as you told, mister, this bird's going to get her face sliced, see? We don't want no trouble.
Don't let me go, you...
Who are you? What do you want?
We want those playing cards, mate. That's all. Just them cards.
Came in after Mr. Quexley left the pub last night, landlord.
That's right. He wanted to know Mr. Quexley's address. Actually, he didn't come in because I was just closing up.
You gave him the address?
Well, I didn't see any harm in it. He was a pleasant sort of chap. Stoutish, rather red-faced. Of course, if I'd have known.
You couldn't, could you? You'd never seen this man before, I suppose.
No, sir. He was a stranger to me.
Had he got a car?
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I heard it.
Would you recognize him again if you saw him?
Yes, I'm sure I would. He got a large mole on the corner of his mouth, just about here.
Well, that may be helpful. You're a Londoner, aren't you, Mr. Jasper?
That's right, sir. Only took over the Lark a year ago.
Be quiet after the smoke, eh?
Yeah, you're right there, sir. This is the first bit of excitement we've had. I suppose robbery was the motive. Was anything valuable stolen?
Well, the police are still checking up.
I hope they get whoever did it. You know, that chap didn't look like a burglar.
Well, there's no evidence that he was.
Except that it's a queer thing he should come here asking for the address on the same night that it happened. Don't you think so, sir?
Well, you may be able to explain that when we find him.
Maybe you're right, sir.
Is there any place I can hire a car to get me back to London?
Not in the village. The nearest place you'd get anything like that would be Retford. It's just over 7 miles.
7 miles?
Yeah, just a minute, sir. When do you want to go?
Well, as soon as possible.
Miss Joan will be driving up to London in about 20 minutes. She'll take you, I'm pretty sure.
Miss Joan?
Miss Joan Clements. She's the vicar's daughter. This is her day for going up to London. Why don't you pop round to the vicarage and see her? She'll take you willingly.
Well, I can but try, can't I? Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Jasper.
You're welcome, sir. You'll find it'll be all right. The vicarage is just along the road and it's next to the church.
Yeah, I know. I pass it on the way here. Well, goodbye and thanks again.
Come on now, look, Slippy. We ain't got the rest of the blasted week. Chuck over them cards.
What cards?
Shall I give her a chick over the nasty?
No!
Ted, you hurt that girl.
What can you do, eh? She'd lose half her face before you could blink. Ain't that right, Ted?
That's right, mate. No, I ain't touched you yet, darling. You don't want to start singing before you've got something to sing about.
Who sent you here?
Who was it, Ted? Was it the Duke or the Archbishop? I can't remember now, can you?
I thought it was His Royal Highness.
I haven't got the cards you want.
Don't push the bird's luck, mate. Ted dish him for a bit of fun with his knife.
The police have got them.
Where shall I start the carving, Steve?
What about a bit of this?
No!
I don't like spoiling a pretty thing like you, sweetheart.
Listen, I have not got those cards.
I'll give you just 1 minute to hand them over or the bird gets it, good and proper. Don't answer it, let it ring.
That's it. Let it ring.
What do you mean?
If that call isn't answered, it'll be automatically transferred to the porter's office downstairs.
So what?
The porter knows that both Miss Dane and myself are in. We always tell him when this flat is left empty so that the switchboard girl can take incoming calls.
We couldn't care less, mate.
But you will. In my profession, one has to take precautions. The porter has instructions to notify the police if he suspects anything.
Right?
He'll be suspicious when he knows that we are in, but haven't answered the phone.
He's bluffing, Steve.
This building will be full of police in about 1 minute, 30 seconds. You'll find it difficult to get away unless you go now.
Come on, Ted. I ain't risking it.
Oh, I'll leave the bird.
Yeah, you fool. Come on.
Oh.
Put Rogers on the house phone, Miss Baker. It's urgent.
Oh.
All right, Paula.
Oh, well, just a little shaky.
Rogers, there are two young thugs on the way down. Usual type. I want them followed.
They believed you about the porter and the telephone.
I was afraid the phone would ring again and spoil it. I didn't do anything with that knife at your throat.
Well, he'd have loved to have used it.
Yeah, drink this brandy. It'll pull you together. I wonder who that phone call was from.
The Home Office again, probably.
Hmm. They have their uses after all.
Do you want me to...
Yes? I see. Well, it can't be helped. You did. Well done. Yes, all right, Rogers. They got away. Went off like the wind on motorbikes. Rogers got the number of one of them.
Well, we can check up on that.
Yes, do that, Paula. Here's the number. How would you enjoy a breath of sea air?
Sea air?
Health-giving ozone, clean and invigorating. Be ready to leave in 15 minutes.
Are you serious?
Very.
Where are you going?
To follow up the message on those playing cards. We're going to find the ace, and I hope the black Zambomba.
All right. I'll see you downstairs in 15 minutes.
Well, here we are. The stairs between two gates.
Broad stairs.
Exactly. It lies between Margate and Ramsgate. Simple.
When you know. How did you know?
Correlation of ideas. Those two young thugs, healthy tans, fights at seaside towns, Margate. And the whole thing clicked.
Very clever. And what next?
We look for the ace. I imagine that it's some place called the Ace of Spades or something of the kind.
There's a restaurant over there. Perhaps they'd know.
Paula, you're not hankering after food again, are you? It's becoming a fetish.
It may have slipped your memory, Mr. Blake, but I haven't had anything to eat since my breakfast.
Well, you'll have to wait. Ah, here's the police station. That's the most likely place to find out. In here, Paula. Ah, good afternoon, Sergeant. My name's Sexton Blake. I'm looking for somewhere in Broadstairs called the Ace. Ace of Spades, something like that, perhaps? Any ideas?
Well, I don't know of any place called the Ace. Not round here, Mr. Blake.
Is there anything, perhaps, with the initials A-C-E, Sergeant?
Oh, not that I can recall, sir.
It could be a guest house or a bungalow, perhaps.
Oh, I haven't heard of anything of that kind, miss. You could try a directory. Here, hold on a minute. There's the almshouses.
Almshouses?
Yes. The Anne Codrington Estate, sir. They was built by a wealthy old lady, Miss Anne Codrington. Got a stone plaque over the front with her name and the date, 1902.
How do we get to them?
Oh, it's not far, sir. Just off Stone Road, on the way to North Foreland.
Well, thanks for your help, Sergeant. We'll get along.
You're welcome, sir. I hope it's what you're looking for.
Yes, so do I. Oh, one more question. Yeah. Do you know of anyone in the district who's called or known as the Sin Eater?
The Sin Eater? Well, queer sort of name, sir. No, I'm afraid I don't. I'm sorry.
No, never mind, Sergeant. Thanks again. Come on, Paula.
There you are, Mr. Blake. The Anne Coddington Estate. Four quite attractive little cottages. Which one do we choose?
We might try number one. The A stands for the highest or the lowest value.
Shall I come with you?
As long as you don't chunter on about food. Come on.
Who is it?
Can I speak to you for a moment, madam?
If you're selling something, I don't want it. If you want something, I ain't got it.
Well, that seems to cover everything.
If I could just have a word with you.
What do you want? If it's about the telly, I ain't got one.
I've called about the Black Zambomba.
Oh, is that it? You better come in.
Thank you.
They're always trying to sell you something that is round here. And if it ain't that, it's collecting. It gets on your nerves.
I'm sure it must be very trying, Mrs.
Glibber. Agnes Glibber. I was in the middle of getting me supper. That you'll be Mr. Quexley, I suppose.
I'm acting for Mr. Quexley.
Oh, he said I was to give it to Mr. Quexley.
The Sin Eater.
What?
The Sin Eater told you to give the Black Zambomba to Mr. Quexley.
Oh, I don't know nothing about no Sin Eater. Who are you? You ain't Mr. Quexley, so what do you know about it, eh?
Mrs. Glibber, I think I ought to tell you that this is a very serious business. A man has already been murdered.
Lord have mercy. Not Carlo, was it?
Carlo? Carlo who?
Carlo Rossi. Mr. Blake, that's the man.
Yes, all right, Paula. Mrs. Glibber, please tell me everything you know about Carlo Rossi.
Well, I don't know, I'm sure.
It'd be easier to tell me than the police, wouldn't it?
The police? Was it Carlo what was murdered?
Why should you think it was?
Well, he never come back, you see. It worried me, it did, but I didn't rightly know what to do.
You know Carlo Rossi well?
He's my nephew. My sister married an Italian during the First World War, it was. She's dead now. Only she was younger than me. I never met her husband, and I'd only met young Carlo once before he come here.
When did he come here?
Well, it'd be about 2 weeks ago. Oh, that'll be the kettle. I was just going to make a cup, I was. I'll make it for you, shall I?
Yes, do that, will you, Paula?
The tea's already in the pot, miss.
Now, Mrs. Glibber, your nephew Carlo Rossi came here to see you 2 weeks ago.
That's right. He wanted to know if he could stop here for a couple of nights. Fair got the jitters he had. I could tell he was in some sort of trouble. Up and down like a monkey on a stick, and he kept looking out of the window. When young Johnny knocked, he wouldn't let me go to the door until he'd called out who he was.
Who's young Johnny?
Oh, he's the son of a lady friend what does errands for me now and again. Oh, thank you, miss.
Go on, Mrs. Glibber. Did Carlo Rossi tell you what was worrying him?
Well, he said it was nothing. His nerves was upset that I wasn't born yesterday. Scared stiff he was or something. If you ask me, somebody was after him.
What happened next?
Well, I give him a bed in the spare room, but he didn't sleep much. Walking about half the night he was. And when he come down in the morning, he looked shocking. I've got to be on my way, Aunt Agnes, he said. And that's when he give me that thing.
The Zambomba.
Yes, that's right. It was a funny-looking thing, like a black jam jar with the top covered over by a bit of parchment stuff. It's got a stick through the middle. He told me to keep it somewhere safe, as it was very valuable. If he didn't come back, I was to give it to a man named Quexley who'd come for it.
Hmm. And then he left?
Well, not till the evening. No, he gave them letters to Johnny and he asked him to post them. Four of them there was.
The playing cards, would you say?
Never mind. Go on, Mrs. Glibber.
Well, Carlo told him not to post them all at the same time and not anywhere in the district. He gave Johnny £3, he did. Johnny's got a married sister what lives at Maidstone. He gave them to her to post. It was all addressed to Mr. Quexley.
I know. Could I have the Black Zambomba?
Well, I suppose it's all right. I've got it in the back room. I'll fetch it. I can't get about very quickly these days. It's me arthritis.
It's beginning to gel, Paula.
They're going to get a shock at the Home Office.
Do them good.
Talk about killing two birds with one stone. I bet you never expected the Home Office job would link up with this, did you?
And Mrs. Glibber's coming back.
Oh, here it is. It don't look all that valuable, do it?
Well, it depends on what's inside. Let's open it carefully, Paula.
It's packed full of cotton wool. And there's something hard in the middle.
A child's glass marble.
Hello, Paula. Where's the governor?
I don't know. Playing marbles with the Home Secretary, probably.
Doing what? Oh, I get it. You're talking about the marble in the Zambomba thing. Has the governor found out what it means?
I wouldn't know. He's being a bit oysterish.
Well, he likes springing a surprise. It gives him his kicks.
And I've got a little surprise I'm going to spring on him.
Well, it's difficult to surprise the governor. He usually knows all about it already. Oh, here he is now.
Hello, you two. Gossiping as usual?
I've got Nichols' report on the Quexleys.
It doesn't matter now. You'll never believe what I'm going to tell you.
You know.
About the Quexley we wanted, yes. He's been working as a rather obscure civil servant in a department of the Home Office.
Bang goes the little surprise, Paula.
Eh?
Oh, never mind. Have you seen this Quexley?
No, he's away on leave. A walking tour in Scotland or something. It just shows how these government departments are run. Most of the staff don't even know the name of the chap along the passage or what his job is.
What's Quexley's job?
From what I can gather, he initialed forms which were then passed on for somebody else to read. However, he doesn't matter very much.
But I thought he was the man to whom Carlo Rossi intended to send the cards.
Oh, yes, he was, but he doesn't know anything about it. By the way, how did you get back from Larkminster, Tinker? Managed to hire a car?
I hitchhiked. The vicar's daughter gave me a lift to London, and she did have the right legs.
Fine.
Well, what's the next move, Guff?
Masterly inactivity until this evening.
And what happens then?
We tie everything up neatly and call it a day. Quite a nice problem it was, really, when you come to think of it.
Why aren't we stopping at the pub, Guff?
How'd you get?
You're too late for a drink. It's closed.
There's still a light in the bar. Perhaps we can get the landlord to open up for us.
I do wish I knew what you were up to.
Same here. Who is it? Good evening, Mr. Jasper. Remember me, Sexton Blake?
I'm sorry, sir. We're closed.
I don't want a drink. I just want to ask you a question. Can we come in?
Well, yes, come in, sir. Well, what was the question, sir?
Mr. Jasper, what have you done with Carlo Rossi?
I don't know what you mean, sir.
Perhaps I should have said the body of Carlo Rossi.
Mr. Blake, this is my home, and
keep your hand away from that drawer, Jasper. This gun is small, but it's very effective.
I tell you, I know.
I'll do the talking. You're a member of the Cosa Nostra, better known perhaps as the Mafia. So was Rossi, until he got sick of all the killings and the violence.
What a blaze are you talking about? I know nothing about the Mafia.
The Mafia don't like any of their members getting out. They liked it less in Rossi's case, because he knew the name of the man who was head of the British organization.
All this has got nothing to
and
do with...
And that is you, Jasper.
You're talking nonsense.
Rossi came to England with the Mafia hot on his heels. He was badly frightened, but he was determined to get his information into the right hands. During the war, he worked with the resistance movement in France. The liaison officer was a man named Quexley. Not the Quexley you murdered. Another Quexley.
Another Quexley?
Rossi's code name was the Sin Eater, and communications were written in code on playing cards. Rossi knew that anything he sent on playing cards to Quexley, particularly if it included the name Sin Eater, would be understood. But he sent them to the wrong Quexley. That was a shock for you, Jasper, when this one showed me the cards in the bar. But you didn't know I had taken them. You were called away to the other bar, and when you came back, I'd gone. You shot poor Quexley, but it wasn't until you couldn't find the cards that you realized that I'd got them.
There's not a word of truth in all this.
You sent those two thugs to get the cards from me. Steve Munt's been pulled in and he'll talk. So will Ted when the police get hold of him.
You can't connect me with any thugs, Mr. Blake. I don't know anything about them. Now, will you go, please? I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
Open the door, Tinker.
Right, Gov.
I'm sure Inspector Hedges is getting tired of waiting. The police are going to tear this place apart, Jasper, and there's nothing you can do about it because they have a special Home Office warrant. I'll carry on, Inspector.
Right, sir.
I'll keep an eye on Mr. Jasper right here.
Oh, dear. I don't know how I'm going to get through a day's work tomorrow.
Today? You would come, Paula.
Well, I wasn't going to miss anything.
Well, you didn't. Anyway, there's enough on Jasper to keep him out of circulation for a good many years. And we've got a list of all the mafia who have infiltrated into the country. That'll please the Home Office.
And the body of Carlo Rossi in that barrel in the cellar. How did you know Rossi would be there?
No, I didn't. It was a long shot. He must have decided to come down and keep an eye on Jasper himself. Or more likely, he was brought down for Jasper to question by one of the mafia who were trailing him.
Well, the Home Office asked you to find Carlo Rossi, and you found him.
And we're getting worried about the mafia starting up in England in a big way. Rumors had reached them that Rossi knew the man in charge. That's why they asked me to look for him.
What put you wise about Jasper Gunn?
Rossi.
How?
The marble in the black Zambomba.
Now the dickens does that link up with Jasper?
But Jasper in French signifies marble. Strictly speaking, jasper, to face with marble. Like a fireplace or something like that. It was the nearest Rossi could get, but it was good enough.
Oh. I do hope we haven't got a busy day. I feel like sleeping for a week.
You needn't come in till after lunch. I think you can look after anything urgent.
Oh, look, Gov. I want to rest, too. I've got to be freshened this evening.
Why particularly?
I've got a date.
Not with the vicar's daughter.
Why not? She's an absolute smasher. She's got everything.
Including a vicar for a father. All right, good luck, old chap.
Sexton Blake series was called The Sin Eater and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chasen, Paula. Mr. Jasper, the landlord of the Morning Lark, was played by James Beck, Daniel Quexley and Ted Clint by Henry Stamper, Inspector Hedges by Ronald Badley, Steve Munt and the police sergeant, Norman Mitchell, and Agnes Glibber was played by Betty Hardy. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alastair Scott Johnston.